Hi, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com, and on the line with me today is Shawnee Lavender and Bruce Mulkey, who are authors, co-authors of a book called I Do, The Marriage Vow Workbook. Now, some of you listening to this may wonder, what on earth does a marriage vow workbook have to do with team building and teamwork? Well, we're going to take a look at that today. Bruce is a writer and an author, and Shawnee is a coach and a speaker and also an author. They've authored other books than the Marriage Vow Workbook. And they were married in 1999, and I've had the pleasure to know Bruce and Shawnee as friends and also as colleagues in the area of training and development. So, Bruce and Shawnee, welcome to the call.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Tom.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you on the call. So we're going to talk today about this idea of marriage and teams, and then specifically what really caught my attention through the work that you're doing is this idea of commitment. And I'd like to move beyond just the idea of commitment in a relationship, because I know in your work, you're focusing in your book on two people getting married and what's leading up to that, this idea or creating marriage vows. Now, tied into that marriage vows is the idea of commitment. So maybe we can start off this conversation with, one, what is a marriage vow? I don't want to assume that everybody, you know, because we've got listeners in all over the world. So what is a marriage vow, and at least here in the Western, you know, in the U.S., and what does it mean to commit, or this idea of commitment?
Well, a vow is really a pledge that you're making to someone, or perhaps to a deity. We see marriage vows, and we define this in our book, marriage vows as differentiated from wedding vows. And that wedding vows are the words that you say to one another on your wedding day, and then perhaps they wind up in the scrapbook or in the box of memorabilia. Marriage vows are we consider them to be sacred vows that are commitments for a lifetime.
So a vow is a pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. And just to add in, Tom, is the idea, and I think this is where it ties into commitment, for a vow, we think that that's something that is living. It's not something that you make and all of a sudden, okay, I made that vow and I'm going to forget about it. It's something that you carry with you, and that's another reason why we call them marriage vows, because it's something you're going to keep referring to throughout your relationship, so you can see, am I still fulfilling that vow? Am I still on track with that promise that I made? And commitment, we would say, has that same kind of quality, where it's an ongoing commitment. It's an ongoing intention that you have for a way of being in the world. So
this idea of ongoing, let's take a look at that. This idea of ongoing is that two people get married and they speak these vows to each other. And as you said, and I think I confess I fall into this category of the marriage vows were said on that day and then fall into the scrapbook. That's happened to me. So, and my wife, now we've been married, we just celebrated 13 years of marriage, and it's been great and challenging and wonderful and a great growth opportunity. You know, it's like an ongoing workshop, isn't it? You know, ideally, is that we keep on.
It is, yeah.
So there's that aspect to it. What happens? And I'm going to cross. I want to move eventually here from two people committing to vows, and we're going to make a jump to a group of people committing to something, and that's where the team aspect comes in. But tell me about what happens to people when they frequently go back to their vows, because that's what you're suggesting, right? Something other than just the wedding day.
Exactly. And I think I'll speak from my own experience personally. We actually wrote vows before we even got married. We wrote, when at that time we called them agreements, for how we were going to be when we first moved in together and started our committed relationship. Mm-hmm. And so this has been about 9 years of experience. And for me, what it does is it helps me to stay in integrity with the type of person that I want to be in the world. So it already extends beyond our marriage, because it's a reflection of me. And also in the marriage, am I fulfilling the commitments that I made in how I want to relate with Bruce? And that really keeps me grounded and solid. And it's a way, frankly, I think, for a person to really focus on the important things in life, rather than getting distracted by a lot of the other things that come in that we say, oh, I need to do this, or this is important. I think vows or other kinds of commitments, whether it's individual or a group, can really keep you solid in what's most important to you.
Well, and in a, you know, we've got two kids, right? You know, right at, on the date of this call, they're 7 and 3 years old, and talk about distractions. You know, it's and with a team of people, there's always distractions. You're in a business, and things get going, and so you're suggesting revisit these. Like, how often do you revisit your vows?
We do it when we were initially married. We did it on a weekly basis. We had a time every Sunday that we sat down. Yeah, and we read our we had them memorized to some extent, although we referred to the written vows and said them to one another on a weekly basis. And also at that time, we did acknowledgments. You know, what we saw, an action or a way of being that we saw in the other person that we thought was out of the ordinary during the last week, and then finally, we had a period of time for truth telling, in which, if there was something that had not been said, either consciously withheld or unconsciously, there was a time to put it on the table in a safe environment.
Mm. Okay.
And Tom, I want to jump in and add something I think that would be really valuable for the people out there listening, especially applying it to other areas. From what Bruce just said, I think that one of the greatest assets of having written commitments that you've committed to, you know, you've actually said, I'm going to do this and I will do it, is that they're really calling out the best of you or the best of your team and what you're going for. So when you have those days where you think you have a jerk at work, then it's really a lot easier to get back on track with that person if you've got a vow that really says, this is what I'm about in the world. You know, it helps keep you out of those petty things that we all get into because we're human. So I think that's one of the greatest strengths of having vows, is they really elevate or can elevate you and help you get back to that space when you're finding yourself really not liking your spouse or your coworker or your kids or, you know, somebody else in your life.
Well, I'd like to take a look at this idea of commitment a little closer. You've created something called the commitment scale. And, you know, I was recently working with a client, and we were talking about, I asked them if they would do something, and they said, yeah. And I said, wait a second. Let's take a look at the language that you just used. And you know, I wanted them to practice this idea of clarity of communication. And because it's one thing, I mean, you could imagine, in fact, I joked with him. I said, you can imagine asking your bride-to-be if they would marry you. And they say, well, you know, you say, will you marry me? And they say, yeah. Or they say, yep. Or they say, okay. Or they say, sure. Why not? You know, none of those sound committed, right? And so there's this language of commitment that I'd like to take a look at. I know that plays into your commitment scale. And you've got 5 different levels of commitment. And I think that this is really pertinent to two people who are getting married. And then it's absolutely pertinent to a group of people who have come together on a team, and they're working toward a common end. So let's take a look at this commitment scale. I know that we've got the very first level, which is at the I guess it's the bottom of the scale, is uncommitted. Tell me about that.
I'll jump in there. Uncommitted, when I mean just from the language, you're not committed. You're not on board. You're not part of what's going on, and that's really dominated by a lot of fear. So everything towards the bottom of the scale has more fear associated with it. When you get towards the top of the scale, there's going to be more and more love, and that's not just romantic love, and we'll talk about that some.
Mm-hmm.
But uncommitted, what it might sound like when you hear somebody talking is, I won't do it, or I can't do it. And they don't have a connection to the team or to their partner. And the feelings, there's an energy that's important to think about in the commitment scale. At level one of uncommitted, the energy is really not a positive energy. It's hopelessness. You might feel resistance if you're the one in this state, a sense of isolation. And there's just a lot of negative energy that you're pushing against whatever you're being invited to commit to.
Okay, so it's hard to believe that anybody would get married in an uncommitted state, but I suspect it happens. I mean, I'm just speculating.
Yeah,
right?
I think it does. I think, though, that this is one of the things that we all have those times in our relationships where we are in that place. Even just to give a quick example, it wasn't specifically uncommitted. It was the next one up, obligated. Bruce and I had an experience today at one point in actually preparing for this call. We got a little crossways with one another. We were on different pages with what we were seeing. And we noticed we were really in that second level, which was obligation. Well, we have to do this. This is something that we're obligated to do.
Mm.
And that kind of space is one that I think people can relate to. We get into that in our work and our relationships. So I think people do probably get into that a lot more in relationships, even more than they go to that level one of uncommitted.
Yeah, because as we describe that, the relationship to the other person when you're in that state is begrudging participation, competition, scorekeeping, duty bound. And I can tell you that's exactly where I was with this about an hour ago.
So uncommitted is at the bottom of the scale, and mm-hmm. and two is obligated to move
right.
up, move toward something a little better anyway. Is that also do you hear the word should?
Yeah.
When someone is obligated, I should do that.
I should do it. I have to do it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Any derivatives, should, must, ought to, have to.
Okay, and so when you see this in a relationship or when someone's creating their vows or they're getting ready to commit to someone in a marriage, what they see when they're obligated is that this is, they should have marriage vows.
Mm-hmm. They're seen as annoying rules, as we put it. But yes, and you know the energy, the feeling, quite frequently is impatience, frustration, irritation, perhaps even resentment.
And so it seems like if you're feeling that that obviously something's wrong. And so what do you do at that stage of the game?
Well, there's lots of things you can do, and that's a great question. One of the reasons why we put the commitment scale in the marriage vow workbook is for couples to have a little cheat sheet, if you will, that they can use. So if they notice in themselves that, gee, I'm really feeling a lot of irritation and frustration, let me go pull out that scale and see where I am.
Mm.
So it's shorthand for them. Or maybe even to share with their partner and say, I'm hearing a lot of this, you know, can we talk about that? So this morning for us, what we did was we looked at the next level up the scale from obligation, which was that's where we were, we have to do this. And the third level is desire or desiring. That's I hope to do it. And you're wishing for something. And so I just asked Bruce, I said, well, sounds like, you know, we're in a have to here. is this something that we would like to do? You know, would we like to have a conversation with Tom? That's the way I phrased it. And so we just asked ourselves, can we move up one level? You know, rather than making it all of a sudden we need to go to from a level 2 to a level 5, we said, can we go up one level? And when we talked about that, it was like, yeah, I would like to do that. I would like to have a conversation with Tom. So it was a different energy, and out of then we're no longer obligated. It's something that actually we started to get a little excited about again.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like that interviewing or when one person does something, you know, this idea of commitment, the scale of commitment still plays in, but it... I like how you're using this scale as sort of a team. I mean, it's a group of two people, but you could also apply this, it seems to me, on a, you know, you have 10 people in a room. You know, where are we, you know, in our level of commitment to this project, whatever
right.
it is? And so some people might go around the room and say, I totally feel obligated to doing this, or... And some people might say, I'm absolutely uncommitted, you know. And other people mm-hmm. might say, well, this, you know, I'm inspired by this. And we'll get to that. But it's this idea of, it seems to me, creating a common language, a language by which to communicate with each other.
Absolutely.
And I think the other thing I'll add, Tom, just on what you said, I think the truth-telling component is what's so important about this. That example you gave of a team... really simply giving people the opportunity to say truthfully, right now I'm not committed to this,
mm-hmm.
or this really seems like something I have to do, otherwise I might not have my job tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really clears the air, and based on my decade plus in corporate life before becoming a coach and an author, I think that happens a lot, where people just go along to get along rather than let's put this out on the table, let's see where we all are, and now what can we do from here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when there's 10 people and they're all on different levels, where can we go from here? And that's a more of a conversation to have, but at least it's a starting point.
Yeah, I think what you say is really true, Shani, in that it's really difficult if you don't have an opportunity to tell your truth about where you are in this process, what level of commitment you're at. It's really difficult to shift to the next level.
And it's one of these things where it's like if you don't know where you are, let's say that you're lost in the wilderness, step one, it would seem, is if someone could give you a map and say, well, you're right here. And then you can, it's, when you know where you are, it's easier to get a bearing on where you want to be. So I think that that's another application of this. So we talked about uncommitted, being on this commitment scale, uncommitted, and then a step up is obligation. You hear a lot of shoulds or I have to, you know, that type of thing. And then, so we touched on number three, desiring. So what happens when you desire? It's not at the top. It's not at the top of the scale. We're right in the middle now.
Yeah, the language there typically is, I hope to be able to do it. I wish I could do it. Wouldn't it be nice if?
Mm-hmm.
Again, there, the agreements or vows, as the case may be, are expressions of how you hope you can be or how you hope you and your partner can be.
Mm-hmm.
You and your talent, you hope how you and your teammates can be.
It seems like, Bruce, that you're leaving the opportunity for an out.
Mm-hmm. You're not all the way. It's like one foot in and one foot out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So if things go well in my marriage, I'm in. But
mm-hmm.
if things go bad, I've always got an out. You know.
And I think it also expresses what many of us sometimes believe is that somehow we're not capable. So that part of us that might say this, I hear this all the time with people that we coach, both in relationships and other areas, it's that desire. Well, I'd love to lose weight, or I'd love to get a better job, or I hope that I will do all right in this interview. And there's something there to me that's that person not having the confidence. It's not that they know the outcome. I mean, none of us know the outcome. And yet it's somehow not being at that state yet where there's a firm belief that we can or I can achieve this. I may not, and yet I am capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another distinction of that desiring state. It's a little being on wobbly legs, so to speak.
I've got a friend who's is exploring this marriage idea with his girlfriend, and and his response to me, you know, is looking at me, he thinks that, you know, having been married for 13 years and two kids and a house and all that stuff, he says, but what if, you know, what, that, you hear that, you know, it's, he's worried about facing the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the known in the relationship, and then there's the unknown, and it seems to me that when you commit, you're also committing to facing the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
The what ifs in the relationships. Like, what if she gets, you know, or I get in an accident, a car accident, you know, or, and, you know, I can't walk anymore, or what if, you know, there's, it's like an endless game of what if.
Yeah, our mind can make up a lot of scary pictures about what the future might hold. I heard a great quote that I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do justice to, but it's about, given the fact that no one can predict the future and that so many changes take place, we have no excuse for pessimism.
And I think there another piece about that is the strength of commitments, like you were saying, Tom, is that there is something, when we talk about commitment, it's really where, it's what you're committing to, it's what you stand for. So it really has that sense of, I can stand in the unknown. You know, I'm committing to be a certain way in my life, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I trust that taking this stand, making this vow that I'm making today, that will be, you know, ballast for me, or that will be a foundation that I can really move from to an unexpected situation, because we all have that. No matter how well you plan a relationship, everybody has those unexpected things that happen in their lives or in their workplace. So
it's that anxiety, it seems like, is that, are you suggesting that the fuller we commit, the easier the anxiety is to face, or that does anxiety disappear?
I don't know that it disappears, because I think that's part of our human condition. Our mind likes to make up stories, and we just get scared. I think, though, from my experience and the people that we coach and people who've worked through the book, there really is a sense of strength in having these type of conversations about, who am I? You know, you do these exercises in the workbook, you do the writing yourself, and then you share with your partner. So it's, who am I as an individual, who are you, so you get to learn about your partner, and I think that really lends that strength to say, we can weather whatever's going to come, and, you know, we might respond to it differently in 5 years than we think we're going to, and yet these conversations really ground us and give us something to go forward on, rather than just trying to respond in the moment.
Yes.
And I'd like to add on something to this part of the conversation, and that is the idea of commitment, steadfastness, whatever you want to call it. I know that Shawnee is steadfast in our relationship, that she is going nowhere. I know, and that makes it a lot easier for me to be steadfast and being fully committed, having both feet in rather than one foot in, one foot out. And this is the first time. I've been married two other times, and when I would get crossways with one of my former spouses, there was that exit strategy that would pop up in my conscious mind almost automatically. Like, well, okay, so let's see, how are we going to divide this stuff up? And,
right.
You know, and that absolutely, positively does not happen, because of the level of commitment that Shawnee and I have.
I'm reminded, as we move up the scale here, the next level. So we've gone through uncommitted, obligated, then desiring, and we're going to move into the fourth level here in a second. But as we talk, I'm reminded of a time I was participating in a workshop, a 10-day-long seminar. One of the last things that we did was a 40-foot firewalk. And it was intense. You know, there was a lot of other things happening at this event, and that was the one thing that really got me going, man, you know, because they talked a lot about commitment, because you get up to the edge of the fire, and there you go. I mean, if you're not fully committed, you better not go, because it's and, you know, the part that I struggled with was the what ifs. You know, that's what they, you know, meditators call the monkey mind. You know, well, what if you get burnt? Well, what if this happens? Or what if something distracts you halfway through the 40-foot walk? Or, you know, and but there's a, as we move up the scale, I think that having a deeper level of commitment, those things still come in, I think, but something magical happens. And maybe we'll get into that. So uncommitted, obligated, desiring, moving up, what is the next step, the next level of commitment?
The fourth level, just one down from the very top, is committed. And that sounds like I will do it. And there's a lot of presence. You know,
now, that seems like it should be at the top.
I know, it's a tricky one, so we'll explain the difference in a minute. So it's I will do it. And there's a lot of satisfaction that accompanies this level of commitment, contentment. You know, really, you have the sense that all's right with the world. And you're connected to your partner in the case of a couple, and you see each other as allies and equals. You know, you're not at battle with the world, and yet it's really a sense of the teamwork. We are a united couple, or we are a united group, you know, looking at the teamwork component.
Yes.
And the vows there are commitments that you consciously choose and you willingly follow. It may be something you have to think about or read them, and yet you are committed to them. It's like when you know, when you're on a diet perhaps, and you really get to that point where you say, okay, I'm into this new eating habit, whatever it is that you've chosen. You might still need to think about it, and yet you're really, it's like, yep, this is the way I eat now. I don't eat these things, I do eat these things, or I eat them in this amount. So it's really got a lot of structure to it.
Okay. So out of the number of weddings that you think, and we're just guessing here, I think there's a statistic that says 2.4 million people marry each year. Is that just in North America, in the U.S.?
That is in the U.S.
Okay,
yeah.
So just here in the U.S. So, and probably, you know, I don't know what the statistics are now, but they used to be half, you know, there was at least 1 million people getting divorced every year. So there's another step beyond committed, but if you're committed and that's as far as you get, can you stay married just on that? Can you avoid divorce just on being at the level four?
I think so. I think it's going to have a different quality than being at a level five. And yet, I think if you're really committed and you spend time on your relationship, which is a challenge that most couples have, that I think if you're really committed and you know what you're committed to and what you want to create in your marriage, then a level four will get you there.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the feelings that we believe are associated with being committed are happiness, satisfaction, commitment. I mean, those are quote good feelings.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have some relatives that were married until the day that they died. They were committed to staying married.
Mm-hmm.
Now. They were not the happiest couple by a long stretch of the imagination, you know, or by a long stretch. They were committed, you know, they were from a different generation and really didn't have a lot of nice things to say to each other, and you would wonder why they just didn't get divorced. But they were committed to the marriage. Is that commitment?
That sounds like obligation to me.
They were obligated to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's funny, you know, because they, their language was, is, you know, that while we committed on that day to being married, you know, you can sort of hear their resignation in the.
Yeah. And I think there's some merit there, because I think that there is a sense of the difference between more modern couples who tend to divorce easier and those older couples who have tended to do just what you're talking about, your relatives doing, well, we said we're going to do this, so we're going to do it.
Right.
So I think that has real value, though, and what I would encourage any person in that kind of state where they're saying, well, but this is what I said I was going to do, so by golly, I've got to do it, to really say, okay, that's a plus for me. I've invested myself, and I'm willing to do this. Now, how can I shift, though, to have this be a more fulfilling relationship? Because, yeah, there's the one point, stay together, and then there's also the piece of, is it a quality relationship that you're creating? So I think if couples have that sense of, yes, we're going to do this, that's a great starting place, and I would ask them, what are you willing to do to improve the quality of this relationship that you're saying you're going to stay in?
Okay. So committed. We've gone through uncommitted, obligated, desiring, committed. And now you're saying that on the scale of commitment, there's a fifth level, sort of the top, the best. What is that?
It's inspired. We refer to it as level five and inspired. And what the language is that accompanies that, we believe, is let's do it together. And committed is I will do it. Inspired, and level five is let's do it together.
Mm.
And the relationship is a synergistic partnership, but beyond that, a connection to the world at large. The conception that we are all one and living out of that.
And I'll give a specific example from our lives to hopefully make it real concrete for folks. When I'm in the committed stage, level four,
mm-hmm.
I'm an equal with Bruce, and I definitely live that out. And I'm going to be checking in with him on chores. Okay, honey, I'm going to do the laundry. Will you do these three things?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should do two more. So, you know, we're 3-3. But nonetheless, it's going to be that sense of we are partners, and yet there's a little bit of maybe it's planning or figuring things out where level five inspired. My experience of that personally is when I simply do my part and trust that whatever Bruce's part is going to be, that he's going to do it. Now I might ask him, and yet it's really just this, it's almost like a dance that you know very, very well, and you don't have to think about 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, to me, is my experience of the difference between level four committed and level five inspired.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this case, the agreements or vows, as the case may be, are really just part of who I am. I live them naturally, with no conscious effort. I might refer back to them. By the way, we have our meetings on a monthly basis now rather than on a weekly basis.
Mm.
To review our vows and our commitments.
So even still, at the committed level, all along this scale, well, certainly from desiring, committed, inspired to level five, you're still revisiting the commitments that you made to each other, the vows.
We are. We you know, we have a vision for ourselves as well as the commitments that we've made, and we revisit that vision see how we're moving toward it, and I believe that the vows are part of the ways of being and actions that we take that actually move us toward that vision.
And Tom, an analogy that I like to use with clients is the idea of if you go sailing and you're going to sail from the seashore over to an island, you say, okay, that's my destination, that's where I want to go, and you chart out your course. You know, we need to head northwest for this many, you know, knots, and I don't sail, but I have been on a sailboat. So it's that idea where you can do that, and yet if you don't keep checking in on some kind of regular basis, then chances are the wind and the waves are going to blow you off course, and you're going to have to work harder to make a course correction in that sailboat. And we see relationships, whether it's an intimate relationship or a work relationship, it's having that same kind of quality. So
that's
we
a
definitely
great metaphor.
Recommend, yeah, that people check in and are you still on track, or oh wait, I've gotten off track, because that's what we see in couples who are in a crisis point is, at the most simple level, all they've done is gotten really off track.
Mm.
So if they had that opportunity to check in regularly and earlier, oh wait, we're 2 degrees off track, let's get back together, versus now we're you know, 25 degrees or 5 miles.
So real quickly, tell me what that looks like. I mean, you're checking in. It seems mm-hmm. like it would get, I mean, it was 99. Here we are in 2006. And you've checked in so many times with these marriage vows. Has it ever become mechanical?
From time to time, you know, it probably has. But for the most part, it really, I mean, I wind up with tears in my eyes
mm-hmm.
quite frequently when we read them, or Shawnee reads hers to me. And so, yes, the answer is yes, it does. It has been mechanical at times, but that's certainly the exception rather than the rule.
Mm.
And I think it's part of the thing that I would emphasize to people in any kind of relationship, whether they are actually married or they're in a you know, non-married committed relationship, that I think that shows your commitment to the relationship to spend that kind of time revisiting your promises to each other, sharing the truth about, you know, who you think your partner is, you know, the things you love in them and acknowledge in them. And that's what I think, that's another way that it differs. When people are in those early stages of a relationship, there's a lot of euphoria. Oh, our partner's great, they're wonderful,
mm.
the way they do that with the toilet seat, or, you know, oh, that's sort of cute. You can tell I'm a woman, right? I mentioned
right, right.
So, but there's that endearment tends to wane as we are in relationship longer and longer, and some of those cute things become irritations. So I think that spending that time where you're saying, let's focus on the two of us and really get reestablished with why we're here, what we committed to with one another, I think that that does so much for a relationship. And if that's one of the processes we take people through in the workbook, is developing their own ritual. So we have our own, we do it monthly, and we light a candle and we read them aloud. Other people are going to do it in their own way. Another couple who worked through the book, they have theirs posted on the refrigerator as one thing that helps keep their vows alive
mm.
for them.
Yes, Bruce.
On the other hand, there's another couple whose vows are in the workbook, Lance and Trish Secretan, and they say theirs out aloud to one another while they're walking on the seashore or while they're out on a hike in the woods, and theirs is really very unstructured.
Mm. Okay, so we're coming close to the end of the interview here, and I'd like to get maybe a quick, here's what you can do if someone listening to this has never, is contemplating getting married or working on marriage vows, certainly you can get the book, and we're going to give the website here in just a minute, and the link will be next to this interview, but... Okay, so what about someone like me and my wife? We've made our commitment 13 years ago. What's the step for us to get to this, you know, to deepen the level of commitment? Something practical. I was about to say easy to do, but
how about fun? Would you go for fun? We'll tell you something fun.
I'll go for fun. I love fun.
Well, one thing I would say, and there's lots of different things that a couple could do in any stage of relationship, and we hope that people will find out about that by visiting the website. What I'd say for you and Anne is really set aside some time and say, let's go out on a date, or let's have dinner together, just the two of us, and let's simply start by telling each other what we most love about each other.
Mm.
And use that as your foundation. I think you'll find your own path from there. And I would say, using that, you can also say, given where we are now, you know, we have two kids, is there anything that we think would support us that we want to take on as a commitment. You know, even though I know you said you don't totally remember all yours, I think you all have embodied a lot of commitments, and maybe you're just not conscious of them.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be a chance to actually say out loud to each other, is there a commitment or commitments that we'd like to take on that we think would support us in our marriage and our role as parents to our two kids?
Mm, good, good.
Does that sound fun?
It does sound fun. I mean, and it's funny, you know, we do that. I think that what I like about what you're doing, the two of you are doing, is that you have built it into your relationship. It's sort of this aspect of it's important. I know it's important to you because you do it. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a difference. I can't tell you how many organizations and teams I've worked with that say teamwork is important, and they spend... You know, and they do something like every 2 years for half a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just makes no sense to me. And I think that the same is true with a relationship, especially someone you're married to, that if it really is important, then you've got to invest time into it. It's like our health, you know,
mm-hmm.
if it's important, then you can tell when it's important and when someone's just talking. Because they're doing something about it on a regular basis. It's part of their life.
Exactly. And that's why, frankly, we've got the book, obviously, and that's something that we invite people to look at. They can actually download from our website the first 15 pages. And yet, we know that a relationship is not just going through a set of exercises in a book one time.
Yes.
So that's why, I mean, we coach couples in various stages of relationship, those getting ready to get married and write their vows, and those who are in relationship. So there's that. We offer numerous resources on our website, and that's what we love to have people do, is go to our website, which I'll just say what that is now.
Yes.
It's marriagevowworkbook.com. So that's all one word, marriagevowworkbook.com/blog, B-L-O-G, or they can just click on the blog button from the main page. And we would love for them to join our email list, because that's the way to get all the resources and on an ongoing basis get some inspiration for your relationship, both primary, you know, your marriage or partnership, and we think, as we've talked about today, Tom, things that they can apply in other relationships that are of value to them. And we have a couple of free gifts for people who join our mailing list. So that's what we'd love to have people do. And we will also have a copy of the commitment scale on our blog. We're going to have this audio on our blog as well, so they can see that commitment scale and reference it when they listen to this audio.
Great. So, marriagevowworkbook.com, and so if you go to marriagevowworkbook.com, you'll find the website, and then there's the marriagevowworkbook.com/blog, B-L-O-G, and that's where you'll be able to download the commitment scale, and there's lots of other resources there. Well, Bruce and Shawnee, thank you so much. I've got a lot out of this, and I'm hoping that our listeners are able to deepen the relationship they have to their the person who's significant to them in their life. And I think that there's absolutely applications to this same material to the relationships we have to people on our teams. So thank you for that.
You're most welcome.
You're welcome, Tom.
We're glad to be here. Thanks,
yeah.
Tom.
Thanks for the invitation.
My pleasure. Well, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com. We've been talking with Bruce Mulkey and Shawnee Lavender, who have authored the book I Do, the Marriage Vow Workbook. We've been taking a close look at this idea of commitment and the commitment scale. You can find more information about this at marriagevowworkbook.com/blog, B-L-O-G, and you'll be able to download some information, including 15 pages of their book, and I highly recommend it. It's fantastic. Bruce and Shawnee are great people. Again, thanks for listening, and look forward to a future call.